Change in Indiana weather is soon to come. This is Hoosier Ag Today's morning podcast on the 3rd of June, 2021. Good morning. I'm Andy Eubank, and coming up in the news, a new Indiana internet speed test will put data in the right hands, Eric Pfeiffer explains. And Ashley Davenport is here with more on that JBS ransomware attack and the effect on cattle producers. The markets yesterday mixed, corn down, beans up. Analysis with Tom Fritz from Chicago. Chief meteorologist Ryan Martin has the forecast. Maybe more clouds and rain today, but hot, dry, and sunny is coming. The news begins right now here on HAT.
A new Indiana speed test and another blow for an already struggling cattle industry. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, and this is Hoosier Ag Today News, brought to you by Country Mark and its member cooperatives, who are your best source for quality biodiesel and ethanol-blended fuels. Last week, Indiana Farm Bureau announced the launch of the Indiana Speed Test, a crowdsourced internet speed test that focuses on enabling cost-effective planning and deployment of broadband. This is similar to other speed tests you've performed from your cell phone or computer, but this test will take data and put it in the hands of decision makers who are looking to build out broadband services to unserved or underserved areas. All Hoosiers are encouraged to take the test. Katrina Hall, INFB's Senior Director of Public Policy Strategy and Advocacy, says the speed test is safe and won't collect personal data.
It does ask your address, but that is converted to a GIS location and your address isn't stored. There's no other personal information and certainly nothing that you do not agree to as you go on to the speed test. It's really pretty quick. It takes about a minute.
Hall says Indiana Farm Bureau is calling on all rural Hoosiers to take the test, but to also communicate with local officials how much they rely on quality internet service.
They need to know that you rely on it, not just for virtual learning or, you know, for watching Netflix. It's an important part of agriculture going forward for precision agriculture, as well as just opportunities for e-commerce and the things that you do at your place. So tell your own story.
The Indiana speed test can be found at infb.org/speedtest. You can find a link at HoosierAgToday.com. A ransomware attack on JBS is yet another blow for an already struggling cattle industry. With more, here's Ashley Davenport.
The world's largest meat producer confirmed an attack on Sunday, May 30th, causing all of its U.S. beef plants to shutter on Tuesday. According to Lee Richmond, board member of the U.S. Cattlemen's Association, plants have still been trying to work through the backlog supply from when the pandemic first started.
It's unfortunately becoming a common theme for the beef industry. You know, it all started back up in the Holcomb fire. Shutting down that plant for an extended amount of time. And then we went through the pandemic. And then some of these producers who didn't have stuff locked in with corn that buy corn, that skyrocketed on them. Some have had to deal with weather. And then we get another event like this week. It just seems like we continually get these events. It seems like every 6 months.
These recurring black swan events have been frustrating to producers who are barely breaking even.
We just assume everything's going to be normal. We're going to have a market for our cattle when it comes time when they're ready. And the unfortunate thing is when these events happen, it seems like the packing industry does even better with them. The gap between what the packers are receiving and what they're paying us is record large. Obviously, producers get hurt when these events happen because we've backed up supply. We then have to fight for a market to find a shank space to get our cattle slaughtered, so which usually goes to the lowest price. And we have excess supply on our side.
This bottleneck in turn hurts consumers.
They all of a sudden see a lot less tight supply, and then the prices skyrocket up. You were seeing that already even before this event. I mean, outside the pandemic, box beef prices are highest ever.
Four packers control roughly 80% of the market. There's an ongoing investigation by the Department of Justice into the meat packing sector. Richmond says that this latest event highlights what the industry has become and the ramifications.
Obviously, if we had more companies that own the plants, this might only affect 3% of the market or 5% of the market rather than 20, 25% of the market. I mean, our government needs to look at this and figure out what to do going forward.
I'm Ashley Davenport.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast, brought to you by Seed Genetics Direct, the largest Ohio-based independent seed company and the Eastern Corn Belt's fastest-growing independent seed company. Visit SeedGeneticsDirect.com for more information. As we take a look at the setup here across the region, we have a little bit of cloud cover lingering for your Thursday. Now, will this trigger a lot of precipitation? Now, depends on where you're at. Over the northern part of the state, probably not. Spit, sprinkle, that's about it. Southern half to two-thirds of the state, yeah, we could pick up another quarter to half an inch through the day today. All in all, beneficial rains, although some are complaining to me that they missed out on action yesterday and we're likely going to miss out today. Northwestern parts of the state, the biggest complaints there so far. Now, as we move forward, everybody turns out sunny and dry as we move through tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Temperatures are normal to above normal. Should be a nice, warm weekend. But we turn unsettled next week, Tuesday through Friday. I can't rule out hit-and-miss scattered showers thanks to heat-based instability any of those days. Daily coverage may not be any better than about 60%. Your daily rain totals, without thunderstorms at least, may not be any better than about 3/10. But the risk will be thunderstorms, especially as we go on later in the week, as the heat builds all week long. I think we could definitely see some thunderstorms next Thursday night into Friday. So, yeah, we're just going to have to kind of see how that messes with our rain totals a little bit here and there. But overall, the setup right now, I don't think it's much that we can complain about, especially given the concerns of dryness that we've seen start to develop in parts of the Eastern Corn Belt up to this point. We'll find out what the rain totals look like at the end of next week, and then maybe we can complain one way or the other. Looks like Saturday the 12th turns out partly to mostly sunny, and again, very, very warm. Heat definitely building for next weekend, the 12th and 13th, and on into the following week, starting with the 14th. That's the way things are stacking up. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
The corn market cannot sustain the Tuesday rally. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Wednesday Farm Market Review. Corn did go lower, stayed that way all day long. The soybean market, though, did get another bump. This update is brought to you by Co-Alliance Cooperative, your local agriculture and energy partner for nearly a century. On the Hat Market Review, we begin with market analysis from Tom Fritz, EFG Group in Chicago. I spoke with him right at the end of Wednesday trade. Tom, let's start with the corn market. A pretty nice Tuesday rally in corn, but a sell-off in the overnight session and then during the day on Wednesday. Some say it is because of that corn condition rating that came out from USDA. Pretty good. Others say technical selling, and what do you say?
I'll go along with technical selling. I'll go along with, the better-than-expected conditions. But I think you have to notice that at the midday sell-off, new crop corn, that break was, I think, was very well received. I do think, the biggest feature of the corn market today was the liquidation of the July contract. And if I had to guess, I think that's smaller index funds moving out of their passive longs in July, placing them forward. And it looks like most of it's going to the December contract. The smaller index funds they'll move before the larger index funds do. Larger index funds, they move on the fifth business day of the month. So that would have them moving out of their passive long July positions next Monday on the 7th. But, to see the spreads working like they did today, July down 13 3/4, losing 5 cents to the September, losing 9 cents to the December. To me, just really highlights, index fund liquidation out of the nearby contract. Because, we've got an excellent export program. The margins for ethanol grind, they're excellent. So, it's not like July corn is bearish, but it's just that, the index funds are saying it's time to move on. And, as I mentioned, I thought the midday break in new crop corn was well received. Here we are finishing 9 cents off our lows. Granted, we're 4 cents lower, but, I think a lot of folks are still looking ahead at the weather. Later this week, the Dakotas, they're going to be flirting with triple-digit temperatures. We hear the stories about some spring wheat acres gave way to corn acres. And, that's not going to help whatever corn crop they've got going up there. And, my personal opinion is, as far as the weather's concerned, the western Midwest is going to maintain a drier than normal bias going forward. Yeah, we're going to have some, we're going to have an increase in heat as we move into the weekend and the early part of next week, but that heat is expected to abate some, but I don't see a lot of moisture with it. So, you know, I think a lot of folks are looking at, this week is the beginning of our first legitimate weather scare, and I think the corn market's showing it. You look at soybeans, yesterday soybeans were kind of the weak sister of the ag complex, whereas here today, you look at soybeans, they're all green, healthy green numbers, whereas corn's, slightly red, wheat slightly red. But soybeans, they get a lot of help from soybean oil. The soybean oil market's not going away anytime soon. Renewable fuels program, it's subsidized. We had a lower than expected crush number from the USDA yesterday afternoon for April crush. Palm oil was 5% higher in the overnight trade. And, you've got strong energy prices. I believe these are new highs for the move that we're looking at the crude oil market as well as the gasoline market. So, there's no way this soybean oil market can stay down. And the strength there more than offsets the lagging soybean meal market. Soybean meal, it's had a tough road this season. It had a very early rally. Then, it was the weak sister. Then we had a rally, I think, that lasted for about a week and a half. And, then the market sagged. And soybean meal just can't get anything going. It's all about soybean oil. So here you have the strength in the soybean oil market. Apply that to, whatever weather-related fears you're going to have for the new crop soybean market. And there's just no way new crop beans can stay down. Last night I was surprised that, at one point beans were down, 6, 7, 8 cents in the early overnight. And, then we proceeded to rally 30 cents. And, we did some minor backing and filling during the day. But, as far as I'm concerned, new crop corn, new crop beans, the focus is going to be on buying breaks until we are assured of, number one, more than ample acres. Number two, a crop that's going to maintain good conditions. If I had to guess, the condition ratings we saw last night for the corn crop on a national level, 76% good to excellent. That could be your best rating of the season if the longer-term weather forecasts, come to fruition, which is basically a warmer and drier bias going forward. Look at your wheat market. Okay, it does some minor correcting today. But if you look at Minneapolis wheat, up 12 to 13, they're going to be the leader. They're going to be the leader for as long as, I can see right now. With what's happening up in the Dakotas, with the extreme heat that's being forecasted for later this week, lots of intermarket spreading. We've got a great-looking hard red winter wheat crop, so you've got these two dynamic factors, working against one another. Minneapolis wheat's going higher. Hard red winter wheat, the Kansas City contract, is having a tough time sustaining a rally. And then you look at Chicago caught in the middle. But I do think as long as the Minneapolis contract continues to rocket higher, it will indeed lend some what I call left-handed support to the Chicago wheat market.
That is Tom Fritz, EFG Group in Chicago. Settlements now, Wednesday, July corn 675, down 13 and three quarters. September goes to 593 and a quarter, 8 3/4 lower. December just 4 1/4 down at 572 and three quarters. Up 14 cents for July soybeans, 1562 and a half. August ends 15 and a half cents up. And the Novi contract, 1413 and three quarters, up 16 3/4. 3/4, and July wheat 687.5, 6 cents lower. We were mixed in the meat markets with August live cattle rebounding up to 119.25, 265 higher, and July lean hogs 118.47, $1.17 lower. I'm Andy Eubank with the Wednesday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.